We come here to the last part of the Lord's long discourse on the way to Gethsemane after the Last Supper. And here our Lord is actually offering a prayer to the Father that he receive glory, the glory he already had with the Father from all eternity. And he points out, as he makes this prayer, that he has already passed on the word, his word. I have revealed your name to those you gave me out of the world, he says. He's making a point here, that's a very peculiar point, actually. Because he's telling now he's passed on everything to his disciples who have accepted it. They believe it. And they've understood it, he tells the Father. They have believed that you have sent me, and a point he's made throughout, particularly if you read the Gospel according to this evangelist, St. John. Over and over again, he makes that point, that he's one with the Father, and that he's come out of obedience to the Father. I urge you all to read the Gospel, and you'll see it for yourself. It's in almost every chapter, all the way leading up to this point. So he says, now they've believed that. But then note what he says. I pray for them, he says. I pray for them. He wants them to be strengthened in faith because now they're going to have to pass it on to everyone else, to all the rest of us. But he says, I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you gave me. Now, whom is he referring here? Who's there that he would not pray for? That he would not suffer and die for. You see, it was for everyone. You see, he wants every one of us. But there are those who in their obstinacy will reject him. Already were and will continue to. So how can he pray for them if they're going to reject him? You see, if he prays for them even, they block it. That's what we do if we reject him. We block it. We're saying, I don't want you. I don't need you. And what does our Lord say? You're on your own then. He won't go against our free will. He would go against himself to do that. He gave us that free will in order to be able to choose him. In a word, in order to be able to love him. In return for the great love he has and is still giving us. If that weren't the case, we would not still be here right now. So we have to make that choice to love him. Now, how do we make that choice? We can look to the first reading for the answer to that question. What was the attitude of the disciples, the same disciples that our Lord is referring to here? They're all in prayer together in the cenacle. They've come now after the ascension of our Lord to the cenacle, the place where our Lord held the Last Supper, and where the apostles were now and the disciples were now reciting. And they all gather together, and the evangelist, in this case it's St. Luke, points out, he actually names all 11 of the remaining apostles. Judas had fallen. And he names specifically Mary, the mother of God, is there with them, and some of the other women. There are several there together, gathered together, and what is their attitude? It's an attitude of prayer. They are there waiting, of course, for the promise that our Lord had made, that he would send the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's the glory our Lord is referring to in the gospel passage. That reflection, as it were, procession is the actual term used, between the Father and the Son. The Father generates the Son from all eternity. That's actually the first procession right there. Then, out of that love between the Father and the Son, comes the second procession, the Holy Spirit. When we say, they spirate, The Holy Spirit, the inspirated, he comes out. He's possessed. That's the second possession. That's within themselves. But now there's the also, that's the arintra, we say. That's within the Trinity itself. But now what happens? That love continues to grow and it begins to work outside. Ad extra, we say. Starting with creation, but actually, where does the Holy Spirit first work? It's in the Immaculate. It's in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. First in the Immaculate Conceptions, we saw already as we went through the month of May, particularly the teaching by St. Maximilian Kolbe. We already saw the two Immaculate Conceptions. Created Immaculate Conception, Our Blessed Lady. Uncreated Immaculate Conception, the Holy Spirit. And bring about the Immaculate Conception. That's the first procession ad extra, the work, mission, as it were, of the Holy Spirit ad extra. Secondly, then, in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in bringing about the Incarnation, as we profess in the Creed, the Son was incarnate by the Holy Spirit in the of the Virgin Mary. She is truly His Mother. And therefore, our mother as well, in the order of grace. So we see the attitude is prayer. They were all gathered together, these disciples, the apostles and the others, together with Mary, the Mother of God. Right? They all gathered together in the cenacle, waiting the coming of the Holy Spirit in prayer. So there's the answer to how we approach. What is our attitude to be? In order to receive that glory ourselves, how do we follow our Lord? That's the very first thing. We have to be people of prayer. In a word, we have to be able to supernaturalize everything. How? Because we have to recognize this life is only temporary. Right? We all will one day pass on from this life. That's our death. When our souls are separated from our body, we will pass from this life. But our souls will be reunited with our body at the end of time, bodies at the end of time. There is also eternity that awaits us. That's what we are to do. Prepare for that. In order to do that, in order to make that choice to give our love back to God, we have to be of prayer. We have to constantly remind ourselves of God's presence and live and operate according to that presence. Always seeking Him. One of the themes of after Easter, after the resurrection of our Lord, is always that. Place your sights on high, in heaven, in paradise. Always look up, on high. We have to be looking that direction, towards God, always. That is how we have to do it. We have to be of prayer. We have to spend time each and every day in silence and prayer. Now, the next thing we always hear it, how easily we hear it. Well, I'm so busy. I've got this activity, that activity. I've got to work. I have to do this. I have to do that. Constantly running around this way or that way. I recall once while I was doing, it was with the secular Franciscan fraternity, I was assisting in Connecticut. And on one occasion we were gathered together in our meeting and one of them said, you know, I once heard, it was once told me, if you're going to say you're just too busy to do this, then you're just playing too busy. All right? Yes, we have to, we do have, a lot of us do have feverish activity every day. We have so much to do. And it's one of the phrases we always hear frequently. I used to hear it growing up all the time. I used to hear it even again after I entered, particularly once I came back to the United States after my formation in Italy. There are just not enough hours in the day. Accomplish everything there is to do. We have to cram so much activity into just a small frame of time. Just not enough hours or days to get everything done. Well, we have to then prioritize properly, carefully, and not get too over anxious that we're not accomplishing everything we need to accomplish in one day. So that we can make that time we need to spend. And the saints will say, at least 15 minutes every day in silence before our Lord. For we us religious, it's supposed to be an hour every day. But every day, some time in silence before our Lord, and even throughout that figure, the feverish activity, Just constantly reminding ourselves of His presence. Offering it to Him. There's little sacrifices we can offer each day. You don't have to look very hard to find them, but just offer each one as a little sacrifice to our Lord in reparation for sins, right? For our own sins and those of others. For the Holy Father has so much to suffer for, and for the salvation of souls, above all. And that's how we can do that. Constantly reminding ourselves of His presence, even in the most feverish activity. That's called, another word for that is contemplation in action. We have to be contemplatives, right? Being a contemplative isn't just simply for the monks in a monastery hidden away. It's a beautiful thing, those who are called to that. And it's not simply sitting back and being lazy. They also work, but they are praying for us. They are helping us with their prayer. So it's something very beautiful. Right. However, every one of us is called to be a contemplative one way or another. Every one of us. That's how we supernaturalize. That's how we place it on the supernatural plane. There's how we start setting our sights towards heaven. In everything we do, we offer it to God. We place it in His hands, in the hands of our Lady. And allow that they then carry us through that work. And if we don't get absolutely everything done today, it's okay. You don't worry. We take it up again tomorrow, but we needn't get over anxious or worry. In fact, we should not. Long as everything's in the hands of our Lord and our Lady, we will accomplish what needs to be accomplished. Because what's important is not what we have in front of us here on this life now, but what is the will of God. That's what's important. If I don't get it done today, okay, God didn't want me to do it today. He didn't want me to finish today. That's fine. Perhaps tomorrow then, I'll have that grace and I'll finish it tomorrow. That is the way we have to look at it. We can't be getting over anxiously. Well, why is this getting done now? All right? Leave that to God to decide when. We just carry on faithfully our work, always lifting it up to Him and allowing Him to work through us. That is the whole idea of our consecration to Our Lady, which we made yesterday at the end of the month of May. To place it all in her hands and let her work in us and through us. And by letting her work in us and through us, what is she doing? She's bringing us closer to her Son. She's bringing us to Him. And then we can satiate His thirst that He cried out for from the cross. What was that thirst? Our love. For our love. That's how we do it. We place ourselves in her hands. She brings us to Him. And she surrounds it with her own love. Her heart. And with her heart, then we can love His heart. We can embrace His heart. You see? That's exactly what she was doing there in the cenacle. She was there. Besides being the first teacher of the church. There she was. Guiding them, bringing them closer to her Son. Because no one experienced His love more closely than she. And that brings us then to the second reading, because St. Peter also here brings out a very key point. Look what he says. He speaks also, I see, that when that glory is revealed, His glory, that is Christ, rejoice, he says, to the extent that you share in the sufferings of Christ. Rejoice. That's the share in His love. Now you're embracing His heart. And that is not something frightening. It may seem so at first, but it's actually something very, very beautiful. And the saints always relished. It's a great joy. That's why Peter says, rejoice. I say St. Peter, he says, rejoice. That you share in that. Mother Teresa of Calcutta say, that's our Lord reaching down and kissing you. That's the kiss that makes it much easier to bear those sufferings that we have to bear, which are small. They're nothing compared to what our Lord suffered, what our Lady suffered standing near the cross. And they certainly measure up to nothing compared to eternity. And that's why St. Peter tells us that. Rejoice with it. Don't be afraid of it. It's a great joy That's our union with him. And there, not only does he receive that glory that he prayed for in this, in our gospel passage, but he passes it on to us. And we'll receive it then in the fullness in paradise. And there's what our aim is, always. Let's always look forward, look towards that paradise, heaven, union with God. Because that's exactly why we're here now, to strive for that. And it will require suffering, setbacks. It's going to be difficult. Nobody ever said it would be easy. But the great glory, the great joy we will have in paradise at the end of that pilgrimage, our pilgrimage of faith, will be so great beyond our imagining. And you see, it's forever. Praise be Jesus and Mary.